pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the Rout County check sheet for April 17th, 2018. Accounts payable check cycle date April 9th through April 13th, $622,375.20. Payroll checks, $467,627.20. And IRS and state income tax wires, $192,060.08. For total disbursements approved of $1,282,062.48.
Second. Items of note, Tom?
A few items here. Had a payment to Chandler Asset Management, Inc. This is for the treasurer's office, and these are the fees for their investment business that they do for Rout County for March of 2018. Payment of $1,520.36. I had a payment to Tyler Technologies, Inc. This is from accounting and the Munis ERP product, and this is for support and maintenance for February 2018 through 7th of February 2019, $32,911.26. Another payment to Tyler Technologies, and this is for Munis and the product implementation, and this is for travel costs. For the title work, $2,838. Payment to IBM Corp. This is for the assessor's office and purchase of a statistical database. That payment, $2,112.40. We had a payment to JVation Inc., and this is from Yampa Valley Regional Airport, and from AIP 31. This is claim number 7 for the apron expansion and SRE building engineering, $84,630.36. And the last item I have is from Cooperative Personnel Services HR. This is CPS HR, and this is for the human resources assessment. And this is for task A, the kickoff meeting, and task B, the executive team interviews, payment of $3,019.28. Any other questions over here?
What, there's $85,000 to the city of Steamboat Springs?
That's
another $3,000 above it? Okay.
Yeah.
Could that be a reimbursement?
I'm sure it's a reimbursement, but I didn't
like
that.
Like something through the building department, probably?
Could have been.
Okay. All right.
I can look it up, though.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Yesterday we had our work session with our county manager, our county attorney. In the afternoon, we got an update from our public works director and our IT director. Had some conversation about the importance of the census as well.
Move to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, D, and E.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Our 1055 item, which is a special events liquor license. Let me take it from there.
So it's a reoccurring special event for the Hayden Valley PTO Health and Wellness for an event to be held at the Hayden Greenery, which is actually in the county, from 4 to 10 on April 27th.
I guess I didn't realize it was not in the town of Hayden. Is it?
It's not. Well, actually, they're a municipality, so they would handle it themselves. Uh-huh. If it was.
So the greenery is not in the town of Hayden?
It's half in and half out, and the half they're using is out.
Wow.
In the county, so.
Goes right through the middle of the building?
I think so, yeah. Because they were going to put a brewery in there a while back. And then we didn't. And actually, I don't even know if the brewery is in there. But they didn't go through us. They went through the town because of the section of the granary it was going to be in.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
Hold on just a second. You? I'm almost there. Oh, thanks. Madam Chair, move to approve and authorize your signature on a special event liquor license for the Hayden Valley PTO Health and Wellness Team for an event to be held at the Hayden Granary at 198 East Lincoln Avenue, Hayden, Colorado, 81639, for an event to be held on 4/27/18 from 4 p.m. till 10 p.m.
Second. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Ms. Meyer?
No.
Ms. Water meeting.
Water District. So this is our 11 o'clock item with our assessor regarding R6258948 Cooper Interest LLC. Let you guys take it from there.
Okay. This is a vacant lot on Anthony Circle in the Ski Rancher subdivision. It's 0.81 acres. The owners of this lot do own the adjoining parcel that has a house on it. But they had called me after the appeal period last year, just questioning the valuation on it. And when I pulled it up, just realized what I had done is I changed the tier of value that the lot was valued in and forgot to take off the influence factor that had been placed on it in years prior. I had intended to value this lot at $425,000 for tax year 2017. And I do have a comparable that sold on Val d'Isere, well, at the corner of Val d'Isere and Alpenglow Way, and that sale was used to establish that value. There was also a listing as of the appraisal date on Anthony Circle. It's a much larger lot, higher in elevation, so it was listed higher than the subject property value that I'm suggesting of 425. The petitioner on their abatement form listed a value of $337,500, so they just changed the 6 to a 3 because I had told them it was kind of a clerical error, so I think that's what they were assuming the clerical error was. And I had been in contact with them, and I told them that Gary had reviewed it and okayed the 425, but then I never heard back from them, so here we are. So the recommendation is to deny the abatement petition but adjust the value from $637,500 to $425,000, and a reduction in assessed value and a refund tax amount of $3,037.40.
Seems pretty straightforward to me.
Yep.
All right. Madam Chair, on account number R6258948, I move to deny the abatement petition for tax year 2017, but adjust the value from $637,500 to $425, reduce the assessed value from $184,880 to $123,250, resulting in a refund of $3,037.40.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Purchasing department. We have dust abatement on first. Is it okay if we just go in the order that
That's
they're on
fine.
The agenda?
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. We are here to request the Board of County Commissioners to approve and award the contract for the 2018 dust abatement project to the lowest responsible bidder, EnviroTech Services. This award complies with the purchasing process for the invitation to bid solicitations established in the Route County Purchasing Manual, 5th edition, section 3.01, item number 1. We are looking to award this project for the amount of $552,000 even. And we also have a notice of award for you to sign.
Okay.
Yeah. This is our 2018 dust abatement project, same as every year. We added a couple sections in South Route that we re-graveled last year. So we're going to try to do a second coat there so we don't waste that gravel. Same amount, 0.5 shot in most areas. And it's just, you know, they meet the specs for the product. It's within budget.
The second item, the $65,500, not for county. I take it that's for individuals that are asking to have.
That is correct.
Has to do the, yes, the application.
And we have already sent the invoices to the individuals. So.
So they have to pay.
They have to pay in advance before the application. Otherwise, they won't get it.
And then if some of them bail out, then you can reduce the amount that you buy from.
We won't apply.
Right, so we can reduce the contract amount to the supplier,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you'll just buy what you need at that
yeah.
time.
So this would be not to exceed this cost.
Okay.
So if we budgeted $630,000 and we're only spending $552,000, do you want to take the extra money and apply it on some roads somewhere?
So there is potential to
great
use
question.
A little more in different places and hopefully do a second application
okay.
in some areas. Depending how they hold up by the fall.
So you'll come back to us then at that time if you're going to?
I think we'll.
Or do you just?
It depends on the amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this, we do that on a regular basis, have a contractor come back a second time later in the year?
We have a couple of roads on County Road 44. We did a second coat.
And they're willing to do it at the same unit rate, even if they're just small
No, we don't have to do it at 0.5. We can do a 0.2, 0.3, depending on how much, how the road is holding up. We're looking into other options that would maybe we can.
I'd be a little hesitant about expanding the scope of what we do, not knowing if we can sustain it in the future. I mean, I would worry about that. I mean, I like the idea.
And a lot of people would expect it.
Right.
You're nagging twice the road.
That's the part that worries me.
Now, we're considering other products that are not mag because mag is so corrosive as well.
We talked about that this morning yesterday during his update.
Yeah. So I think we're going to. We had another contractor give us a bid on a different product that didn't meet the spec. But
it's listed here.
Really expensive.
But it's more costly, but they claim that it would hold a lot longer and a lot better than mag chloride without the corrosiveness of the product. So we're talking with Mike about trying them out on County Road 38.
Like a 60,
section.
60.
60. I called the references, and all of the references were in Oregon, and they say the product's great.
We gotta wait until another mountain county gets to be the guinea pig for that product, right?
Right?
Or just
so there's some CMAQ money that we're trying to get,
and
we may, if we get it, we may try that on County Road 38 because that's within the the airshed. So that is a road that is. It gives a lot of trouble.
I think my friend Charlie Dresden stopped in and met
yes, I talked to Charlie.
Yeah, and then he
yes.
sent me
the
article or the videos
yes.
you sent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to try them. I mean, we're open for any other options.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know
for motions.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I move to approve and authorize your signature on a notice of award and associated contract documents and authorize county manager to sign electronically the purchase order for the 2018 dust abatement project to Envirotech Services, Inc. for 69 cents a gallon, not to exceed $552,000.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Our next item is chip seal. Do you need me to sign something?
Yes, but this is Douglas and Mark.
That's okay.
Amend
it? No, I can make it right.
Okay.
We need to make a second trip.
Thank you. Chip seal. This request is to approve and award the contract for the 2018 chip seal project to the lowest responsible bidder, GMCO. LLC. This award complies with the purchasing process for invitation to bid solicitations established in the Route County Purchasing Manual, 5th edition, section 3.01, item number 1. We are asking to award the contract for the amount of $247,740.28.
Good. This is our yearly chip seal project. It's a wear course for the roads before the 20-year overlay. As you guys know, we do two of these within the 20-year cycle. We have worked with GMCO in the past. They do a great job. They won the bid this year. We have County Road 14, 129, Bannock Trail, Willow Island Trail in Stagecoach area that are to be done. Rocky Mountain Chip Seal was the highest, and Tammy Crawford was working for them.
Oh, no kidding.
So she came for the bid opening. That was quite interesting.
Yes.
I got to talk to her for a while. GMCO, we worked with them in the past, and they're great.
I don't have any questions to you.
Where's County Road 178?
178 is between Milner and...
Out to Yacobetto's, kind of.
Yeah, out to Yacobetto's.
That's 179, isn't it?
It's both.
It's both.
US 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you're about a mile or so east of Milner.
Yeah.
That left-hand turn, that's 178.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you.
So from 40 to 179 is 178.
Okay, gotcha. Madam Chair, I move to approve and authorize your signature on a notice of award and associated contract documents and authorize the county manager to sign electronically the purchase order for the 2018 chip seal project to GMCO LLC in the amount not to exceed $247,740.28.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Overlay.
We're going to ask for consideration for approval and authorization of the chairperson to sign the notice of award and associated contract documents to the low bidder Kilgore Companies, LLC, doing business as Elam Construction, for a not to exceed amount of $595,604 for 2018 overlay applications. This award complies with the purchasing process for invitation for bid. Solicitations established in the Route County Purchasing Manual, 5th edition, section 3.01, item number 1.
Any questions?
Seems pretty straightforward to me, just noting that it's pretty good news. All of these bids are coming in under budget.
Do you have
this one is under budget, however, this is a 129, and when this road was budgeted, it was budgeted at the actual length and actual width of construction. However, through the years, we've been adding wide spots, like County Road 54, County Road 56 intersections that have those wide areas. So since we have a little money extra, we're going to try to get all that done, because it can't be uneven. Once we raise the level by 2 inches of the road, then
so when do you want us to approve that extra amount?
When we find the actual, when we have enough money saved somewhere else, we're going to ask for a supplemental budget. But right now we have a little money left over from this budget, and I think that we're short in patch, so we're going to use some of that as well.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move to approve and authorize your signature on a notice of award and associated contract documents to Kilgore Companies, LLC, doing business as Elam Construction, for a not to exceed amount of $595,604 for 2018 overlay applications.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Striping, please.
All right. This request is to approve and award the 2018 striping project to Straight Stripe Painting Inc. in the amount not to exceed of $155,111. This award complies with the purchasing process for request for proposal established in the Route County Purchasing Manual, 5th edition, section 3.01, item number 2.
Striping, same as every year. We're doing two mobilizations. one as soon as possible. I have a pre-construction meeting with them next week. The straight stripe is from Utah.
Are they the crew that did our wavy lines on County Road?
No.
That was Ed's.
That was Ed. That's right. Okay.
No.
Okay.
These guys are actually road stripers.
Because that was 2015.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Okay.
Thankfully not. And they actually were the ones that came and fixed it.
Okay.
So.
Right.
I don't have any questions to you.
Yeah. I think we've been. How long has straight stripe been?
Straight stripe is done a few years for us.
Yeah. Yeah, they mostly win.
Yeah.
They were the low bid.
And they were the low bid, yeah. And they're really reliable. I actually like working with them.
Great. Madam Chair, I move to authorize your signature on a notice of award and associated contract documents and authorize the county manager to sign the purchase order for the 2018 striping project to Straight Stripe Painting, Inc. in the amount not to exceed $155,111.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is our 11:30 item with our Human Services Director. I'll let you take it from there.
We went to the team to see if we could speak with you and ask for increase from 20 hours a week to 28 hours a week for our route to work coordinator. In the past, it was two part-time positions. We just hired one. The unique position or unique situation with this is that it's 100% reimbursed by United Way. So she's a county employee, but the fiscal agent is United Way.
Have we already seen that contract from United Way? I don't know if we...
I don't recall it.
It's probably before my time, but yeah, yes, it is, yes, definitely. I can bring a copy to you if you'd like that.
Okay.
Let me look for that.
How many clients are enrolled in Route to Work right now?
Right now, the last numbers I had was there was 5 in the class going on right now. She's going to start a new class in June. She's outreaching to 26 people right now. She just started a Spanish-speaking class, and then she also is going to work with Dream Island to do a class for the residents there. And so on May 5th, she's going to go and do some outreach and talk to the new Rosemary that does the property management there.
Mm-hmm. And how many months is the program?
They do a 7-week program,
okay.
And then they do a 10-month. So you start off with
okay.
a 7-week class,
that's,
okay. and that's the first lesson or first cohort, and then after that you move on to move it up where it's more long-term with a mentor and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of is the 10-month program.
Yeah.
How many people are enrolled in that?
That hasn't happened yet since she started. So they've
okay.
just been doing the 7-week program, and then she just wants to really revamp the mentoring program just to make it successful. And so that's part of the things that we want to have her focus on with the increased hours.
And is that happening in the cabin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Right?
Yep.
Madam Chair, I move to approve an increase in route to work hours from 0.5 to 0.7 FTE, noting that the cost of $11,636.87 will be 100% reimbursed by United Way.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Our Human Resources Department regarding a job step increase. What do you have going on?
I have the new fair maintenance worker, Virginia, they're asking that she be hired at, or she's been hired at step 3, and they would like to move her to step 4 upon satisfactory completion of a 6-month performance evaluation. She is going to be a part-time fair maintenance worker, and she has approximately 9 years of relevant work experience, which exceeds the minimum listed in the job description by 9 years, because you are not required to have very much experience when you come on as a maintenance person at the fair.
She's worked for us for a lot of years in different capacities, huh?
Yes, that's correct. So
okay.
She has a lot of institutional knowledge about the county. And at a step 3, she's going to be earning $17.49 an hour, and if she meets the expectations of her performance evaluation, she will be paid $1,807, and that's step four of the fair maintenance worker pay scale.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to approve to advance the new part-time fair maintenance worker to step four upon satisfactory completion of a six-month performance evaluation.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, so we're here for our one-clock agenda item, which is a meeting with our county treasurer regarding an accounts payable item. Thanks for joining us today. So we received this invoice from Linda Gessler, and we just wanted to ask some questions about it. The first being is, was the attorney ever used for anything outside of your role as treasurer or public trustee?
Absolutely not.
So how do you explain their notes, their description of?
It's appropriate for my office as a county treasurer to seek advice as a county treasurer as long as how to handle and defend myself against false allegations that were leveled against me as a county treasurer, as my role as a county treasurer. That's the bottom line.
I guess my question would be, I'm not going to weigh in on the veracity of the claims that were made against you and your office. And I mean, who knows whether those claims were true or untrue? I have no way of knowing. But I'm curious why you need a lawyer to respond. If somebody accuses you or your office of engaging in electioneering activity, wouldn't it have been simple enough just say, no, we didn't do it? I mean, why did you feel that you needed to contact a lawyer to answer that?
It was out and out false allegations against me as a role as a county treasurer. It was untrue, I knew it was untrue, and because it never happened, I have to protect the integrity of my office as a county treasurer and should not be second guessing that.
There's nothing that you said there that I disagree with. I think if the allegations are false, and in your opinion they're clearly false, and the newspaper calls up and asks a question, you know, was this activity taking place in your office? I think that's the answer that should have been provided.
I was not going to second guess it.
Second guess.
The false allegations, I want to make sure I protected my office and the integrity of my office.
But isn't simply just denying the allegation and saying that it's untrue enough? I mean,
we look at it and we think calling a lawyer is like calling a plumber. What's the point? Why can't you just respond to the allegation?
I answered your question. Do you have another one?
Yes, I do have another one. So we could authorize $2,000 in your budget.
Mm-hmm.
You're already well over that, and we're through February in this invoice. So do you think how much money are you going to need for a lawyer?
Our original request was for $10,000 this year.
Right, and we based $2,000 based on historic use by the county treasurer and public trustee of the county attorney's office. We have that.
We're not using a county attorney because we have the policy saying we can. We asked for $10,000, and we always have a positive variance in our budget every year.
And then can we have some conversation? I see this is referenced in the invoice, too, about this issue with the TIF and the URA and the money that's been overpaid.
Right. We're not finished with that. We did the letter yesterday. I'll be happy to send you the letter that we sent to the city.
We've seen it.
Oh, good. Then you have it.
Yeah. It'd be nice to work cooperatively with our partners over there on 10th Street.
Okay. But I have to take care of the mess that was taken by your finance director, Dan Strunad, for 2004 because he miscalculated since then. And we have the documentation to prove it.
Is it the finance director's?
Yeah, it was. We have no idea why that happened.
It's not the responsibility of your
office? It's the responsibility of this office, but since 2004, in our notes with his handwriting saying that he would handle it and how he'd handle it incorrectly. We're fixing it, and we're getting our money back.
Yeah,
I want to get Dan up here so he can answer these allegations.
Sure, that'd be great.
Please.
While we're waiting for Dan, again, going back to some of these items, I guess I still have two questions. One was, there's a series of items about pending issues, and then pending and developing issues, and then pending issues and responses. So that would be on the second page, the third, fourth, and then the last item, or the three that I'm referring to. I highlighted them right here. I'm just curious what those pending issues and developments were.
You know, I'd have to go back and look at my notes. I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, if you could provide us with a response to that. I'm not trying to second guess what your authority is as treasurer. Not suggesting that these particular items were inappropriate or appropriate. I have no way of knowing, you know, what they are. But I think it's within our responsibility when we're spending this money that we should know what it is that we're spending it for. And I think most of the rest of the items on your list are clear enough as to what the money was being spent for. I'm probably not going to change my attitude, but the first four items on the list, in my humble opinion, were, if nothing else, simply unnecessary. I guess if I get a call from the newspaper, I always feel that I should be able to answer that question without talking to an attorney. I mean, some kind of a legal charge brought or an outright accusation made by an individual, I suppose that's a different story. But and that's just my opinion, and I know that you've already responded to it, so I guess I won't expect any further response.
So one of the things that we had talked about last time we talked to Meet about outside attorneys was the first invoice that we received from Linda Gessler was over essentially a 9-month period, I think January through September of 2017. And one of the things we'd asked is if it would be possible for them to turn in invoices more frequently, just so we can, you know, see what's going on in terms of expenditures. And so this was for a 2-month period, so that's good. So do you anticipate that they'll be doing that, turning them in about every 60 days?
I've asked for them when I get them. I've asked for them.
So, I mean, do you think they'll be in?
I have asked them to be timely.
Okay. Good. So we might be getting a second invoice soon for another 2-month period?
I've asked for them
for March,
to be timely.
April. What do you think is timely?
When I receive it from them.
Well, you're the client. You tell them when you want the invoice.
I ask for it. And when they get it to me, they get it to me. I do ask for it.
Okay.
I guess... Yeah, I guess I'm uncomfortable with that. I mean, I was in business for a long time, and it was really difficult for me to run my business in a business-like manner if I was receiving invoices from suppliers for work that had been performed 3 or 4 months earlier, because a lot of the projects that I did were time and materials, and I had to include those as I made invoices to my customers, and if they did not come in on a timely basis, I didn't get paid. And I would take the same stand with my suppliers: is if you don't invoice me within 30 days after the date of service provided, then I'm not going to pay that invoice. And I think that'd be a good policy for you to consider.
We do really need to work together on that. I mean, we need to figure out a way to put some bookends around it to make sure that they're turning in invoices when you request them. I mean, you are the client. So, I mean, it's not unreasonable. I mean, I frankly think that billing every 60 days is a little unreasonable. I would expect to see an invoice from an attorney every 2 to 4 weeks if it's something that's being utilized regularly. So can we work together to make sure that they respond to you, to provide invoices on a regular basis?
I have responded to you. I said I take your advisement, and I asked us to do it on a timely manner. I have done that.
Okay. So do you think we can expect another invoice this month for what's happened over the last 2 months?
I will ask for one today.
Okay. That'd be great.
I have a question for me. The invoice that that was paid, the $2,000 went toward. There was an additional sum, I think about $1,300 that was still owing on that. So that's going to put you over the $2,000 budget you have for this year. So we'd be coming, working with accounting to come forward with a supplemental budget request.
It doesn't really make sense to come every month for a supplemental budget. We'd like to do something on a 6-month basis.
You can you can put together a request. If you think it's going to be $2,000 every 2 months for the remainder of this year, you could put together a request.
We've done those before and you were denied.
Actually, last year it was approved.
It was because it was on an actual. We tried doing that. You denied it.
No, the commissioners came in and approved.
I gave it to you. It never went to the commissioners. You denied it. You put it back.
Sorry, that's not true.
The $15,000 one. We do have the documentation.
It came to the commissioners and they approved $10,000 last year.
And it was the exact amount.
That's right. That's
so you want an exact amount or do you want an estimate?
Why don't you just make a request that makes sense? I mean, that's
I did
really
the first time. It was denied.
You haven't made a request this year.
Last year, back last year when I put the $15,000 one.
You didn't ask. You didn't make a $10,000 budget request for 2018.
Being argumentative.
My point is trying to comply with budget law of the state of Colorado.
Complying with your laws of the policy.
They're not my laws, but would you just calm down a second here, okay? The procedure is that in the state of Colorado, you can't incur an expense that isn't budgeted for. You've incurred.
We have it in our budget line, on other line items in our overall budget. We always have a positive variance at the end of the year.
So you're saying that a supplemental budget would be used, be covered by offsets in?
That our fees that are incurred and the fees that we get in this year, yes.
Okay, that's not really how it's supposed to work, but meeting commissioners to make that decision as to whether they're going to allow you to overspend.
With regard to the fungibility of money, can you move things back and forth between personnel and operations, or those are supposed to remain
not
separate?
Not between personnel and operations. Between operation line items, you can.
Right. So you anticipate that the positive budget variance will be in operations?
Yes.
Okay. And will be sufficient to cover all of your legal expenses
Absolutely.
For the year?
Now we know that.
Great. That's good to know. Yeah, so it'd be good to get this TIF issue worked out.
It is. We gave them a claim. They submitted it, and we didn't give them a check today, yesterday. And we will probably be giving one for the second quarter.
Second quarter.
And they should be fine after that. And we'll be back.
Is there any dispute on how many years back it goes?
We can only do state law. We follow state law because we are a rules follower.
Right.
6 years.
Okay.
And then an 80% interest is based on that state law. 3% interest on it.
So is that a discretionary thing?
No, it's by state law. I can't do that. I believe possibly you guys could, but I can't.
Waive the interest?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe that's something we should talk about.
I would be inclined to waive the interest. It doesn't seem that the city of Steamboat did anything wrong.
No.
It was never wrong. It was just double payment.
Well, they weren't submitting invoices to them. We remit.
We calculated it over here and remitted to them. Correct.
Yeah. And frankly, I don't think it does any good to point fingers over a mistake that's been happening since the inception of the URA. And I think it'd be nice. I mean, the city and the county have been working in a much more cooperative spirit on a lot of different things, including our building department, which has always been really important to citizens, that the building department functions well together. Everyone in the trades will tell you that. And so it'd be nice if we could work collaboratively with them to fix the issue. That's all I would say.
So how would you like me to put something on your agenda to waive those fees? Want me to talk with city staff?
I think, first of all, we need to find out if we're able to waive those.
Okay, I'll talk.
And then, yes, we should schedule it as a public agenda item to consider that.
Well, the other option, along whether or not it's waivable, is just reimburse the city for that 8% from the county general fund, if you so desire to do that.
Because I think it's about $12,000, right? Wasn't that the interest calculated on the letter you sent them?
Yeah, I don't have the letter.
It was about $105,000, and you had $117,000.
Okay. Compounded over time.
It was just 8% straight up. not comp.
So, to answer your question, I think that, of course, Commissioner Monger isn't here right now, but I think Commissioner Hermosinski and I both agree that it would be the right thing to do to refund the, whether it's okay. Refunding the interest or waiving it, either whatever we need to do legally to do that, I think we should.
I'll get that on your agenda. I'll talk to the county attorney about that process or the specific legal means.
Dan, coming up? Or?
Dan was at lunch.
Lunch.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know that we have anything else to discuss here.
Yeah, I mean, I have. I'll just say I have real concerns about how these funds are being used on a whole lot of different levels. But I don't think we really have any choice but to continue to approve them.
I guess from my perspective, I just ask that that on these things that that may tend to be more political than technical in nature to your office, that well, frankly speaking, that you don't engage the services of an attorney. I mean, I don't understand. I don't think there's anything you can say that will convince me that it's appropriate to call a lawyer in order to answer a simple question from the newspaper.
Well, at least not how this invoice is drafted. I mean, it's...
So I guess, as Commissioner Hermosinski said, we may not have much choice in this matter, but I would urge you to show as much restraint as possible when you do decide that you, or when you think you may need to confer with Glenda Gessler.
There was nothing political about the situation. It was out and out false allegations for me as my role as a county treasurer. It had nothing to do with politics.
And again, I understand that, and I'm not disagreeing that they were false allegations. I'm just saying I don't think I need an attorney to answer that question. I said my answer to that question is these are false allegations. I flat out deny them. That's just me.
So, last thing, you'll be submitting an additional voucher then for the remaining $1,300 for the invoice?
Sure.
I believe it's.
Or what? It was.
33.6.
I thought the other $2,000 was paid.
And the other $2,000 was paid last.
That was for a different invoice.
It was the
2017 invoice, I believe.
Yeah,
so
this
you think 3,300? You don't think only 2,000 has been paid towards the balance of the invoice that's here today?
The invoice was $5,336.09, mm-hmm. And we paid $2,000.
And that included a balance more than $2,000 that was paid in previous pay cycle. That was for.
That was for 2017 invoice, I'm quite certain.
Right, and that was the balance that was brought forward, and that was paid at the previous pay cycle. So I'm.
But they were showing sure that, Glenda Gessler was showing that as unpaid as of March 6th?
Yes.
That invoice 760?
That's my guess.
Okay.
Because I show that's paid within our accounts payables, our payment mm-hmm. system.
Okay.
So a total of this, $4,000 has been paid, so that'd be another $1,170.
Yeah, that would be good to, I mean, I believe that what you said is correct. It would be good to know that you agree with that.
Right.
That's been our understanding all along, is that there was only $1,336.
And that may be outstanding. I'd have to look and see.
Okay.
I don't have any more questions.
I don't either.
We are for our 1:30 item, which is a meeting with our county manager, county attorney. Kathy, you want to come join us up here? We have Kathy Meyer from Steamboat Springs City Council here as well to talk about some documents for construction of the combined law enforcement facility.
Let me start off here. Since I wrote the agenda packet, but the county attorney is the one to get all the work when it came to writing the agreements that we have before you today, all, and then also working with the city attorney, city staff, county staff to make all the changes that came to the back of our minds as after he wrote the original draft. But so Eric did a yeoman's job to take all the responses from everybody and put this final work together. So the first item on the agenda is your consideration to approve the operations and maintenance agreement for the combined law enforcement facility. And within the agenda packet, I cited some of the items that I think are noteworthy for this, and specifically that the term of the lease is for 40 years. I'm thinking about the lease, and this is an O&M agreement, but the term of this will be based on the lease agreement, but this also has to be approved before we can do the preliminary notice to proceed for an amount that we also have on your agenda later. So that's why all these are being brought to you at the same time. And if I can get back.
Eric, are you guys going through the same exercise tonight?
Okay. Yeah, so if there's any questions or issues, I'll just convey them.
Okay.
So when it comes to the O&M agreement, establishes, you know, the floor plan that we have, rather than doing a condominiumization, as to the area that is shared in the facility, area that's dedicated to city staff, the area that's dedicated to county staff. We will be splitting operations and maintenance cost on a 60-40 basis, except for that cost that is related to the comm center. Rock County will be paying 100% of the operation and maintenance cost to the comm center. We also have identified means or processes for how we would be budgeting for starting in 2019 for the operating and maintenance costs. We would be putting how we would reimburse the city for costs, but up front provide some dollars at the beginning of the year so that there would be an account that they could draw from. Each party would be solely responsible for purchasing and maintenance, repair, and replacement of personal property over the time, and maintain the ownership of the same personal property. Eric, do you want to be more specific about some of the other items?
Sure. Two items of note that I would like to point out to the board. One is dealing with the parking easement. The real estate transaction for the sale of Lot 1 of the subdivision, of the new subdivision, includes a parking easement. The negotiated term was for 10 parking spaces, not specifically designated, because they show up for work and that those spaces could be taken. So it's.
And those are the parking spaces currently in front of our sheriff's office.
Correct, on the east side of the plat. Then there was some discussion about an easement towards the back of the building going through the secured gate to the south of the existing sheriff's office. And where we landed with all of that, I think I've discussed this with you before, there's an Exhibit 2 attached to the IGA that describes both easements. They will actually be separate. I spoke with Dan Foote this morning, and we determined that it would still be okay to use this exhibit for the IGA for ease of use, but the easement that will be granted for the real estate transaction is actually just the parking area here in the front and will be cut off there. I'll explain why here in a second. And then by virtue of this agreement, the city will also be granted this access to the back of the complex. The thinking there is that the easement that was granted as part of the real estate transaction should be permanent. That's where they're going to, employees are going to park, and the public's going to park to access the combined law enforcement facility. However, at the expiration of the lease and the IGA, that other easement accessing the secured area would go away at that point. And the same would
That's
be
a good catch.
The same would be for the city, by this agreement, they're granting the county an easement off of Lagoon Court. That's not contained, the drawing's not contained herein. There's some language that addresses that. But the reality is it's not, the survey's not prepared, and I don't think it can be prepared at this point until some more work is done out there on site. But they will be, the city will be granting to county an easement off of Lagoon Court to sit back.
So that easement and this easement are independent of the current real estate transaction?
Right. This easement and the Lagoon Court easement will go away at the expiration of the leases. However, this main parking easement will stay in place. That was one point. The other point is as to the insurance section. That's section 11 on page 9. As it stands right now, the insurance requirement is that both parties maintain general liability insurance for the value of the assets minus depreciation. That is typically how the county insures its property. There was some discussion at our settlement conference or negotiation conference, whatever we want to call that, about that point, and we broke with saying, you guys investigate how you want to do it, the county will investigate how we want to do it, and we'll come to a meeting of the minds. I frankly, I haven't heard back yet, but I think we're okay. The county's okay with proceeding with this section, but if there is an amendment to be required, we can certainly address that at some future point. The idea here, I mean, this ties into budgetary process and budgeting for wear and tear, depreciation, in other words, for future expenses. I've talked to Dan Sternett, and he's okay with it as drafted. Those are the two items of note that I have for the IGA. The other two documents we'll address here shortly.
Yes, he.
Okay.
The lease agreements are up next.
Madam Chair, I move to approve and authorize your signature on the intergovernmental agreement between the City of Steamboat Springs and Rouse County for the operations and maintenance of the combined law enforcement facility.
Now I know why Doug had a conflict today. Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Do you want me to sign that or do you want to wait until Doug gets back?
I don't really have a preference in that regard. We do have his name typed in here, so it would be a matter of just...
All day I've been neatly crossing it out, writing mine in, and then writing Chairman Pro Tem.
So is there anything critical items that are timed upon this being executed? You've got when does a real estate closing take place?
After these documents are signed.
And so when do we have that scheduled
for? We have a second reading on May 1.
Oh, okay. So we have plenty of time.
Yeah.
Well, then I imagine Doug Commissioner Armisensky would be more comfortable if the chairman of the Rouse County Board of County Commissioners.
Except that I believe there's a motion before you this afternoon about issuing a notice to proceed.
Yes. That's right.
The construction IGA.
So this has to be signed before we can do that.
Okay.
The construction IGA requires fully executed copy of this O&M agreement prior to the notice to proceed.
Okay,
you'll be proud of this someday.
Yeah. Any further discussion?
We already voted on this.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay.
We already approved this.
Is that true?
Good, yep.
I don't recall, excuse me.
I better make sure.
And I'm providing you with two originals, which I will return to the city, or maybe Ms. Meyer will.
Let's start with the shared lease agreement while I'm sitting here doing paperwork, shall we?
Just for the record here, these two lease agreements. One is for the county as a leasor of the CLEF, with the city being the owner of the new building, and the city being the leasor of the remodeled area in the sheriff's office, with the county being the owner of that facility. As I started to say in the last item, these leases are for a period of 40 years, so we appreciate the city accommodating us with that term, something that we requested, and that was the limit that the city has within its ordinance, its charter, as to how long they could be a leased or for any facility. So, again, I appreciate
really?
That the city took on that that effort to set the term at 40 years.
Yep.
Certainly, Ralph County and the city both have
a
long-term interest in the ownership of this facility. That's a term that is also addressed in this agreement as far as the longer-term share of undivided interest that Ralph County and the city will have in the building. And I believe we came down on 59% city and 41% county based upon the total square footage calculations. I only caught a mistake in that calculation early on, and Commissioner Corrigan has worked with and Eric worked with City Attorney Dan Foote to come up with this this 41-59 split, and Dan did his a different way of the calculation than Commissioner Corrigan did, but they both came up with the same number. So I don't have if there's anything that Commissioner Corrigan or Eric would like to add to that. To these two agreements.
I mean, maybe just for the benefit of anybody listening in that wants to understand how that number was arrived at, it was a combination of the total square footage that the city and county had in the cleft main structure, and then making allowances for the share of expenses in the existing sheriff's office remodel and in the garage area, and it also accounts for the investment that the county's made in the comp center. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything to add.
All right.
Madam Chair, I move to approve and authorize your signature on the shared lease agreements between the City of Steamboat Springs and Rapid County for the combined law enforcement facility building, County Lessor, and the shared lease agreement for the evidence area, City Lessor.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Here's the part where Doug says you can't be partway pregnant. Let's get to the $2 million.
And he would know.
That just shows what a sensitive guy
he is.
He
has like 200 babies a year. I know he does.
This item, and I'll, if you don't mind, I'll just start off with a reason for the change and what we're asking for today versus what I wrote for the agenda communications. I wrote a motion, an amount not to exceed $3,982,588. I had my agenda communications done before I saw an email from CalCon that also offered up a $2 million amount and the justification for that. I do not have a copy for that, but I believe that the $2 million is the direction that the city is going to go. And we've heard from Commissioner Corrigan, who had conversations with Jim Kohler with CalCon, and also this morning from Todd Raper with MB5, that's had communications with CalCon, that Jim Kohler believes that $2 million is probably a better way to go proceed, so that holds all of our feet to the fire that we're going to run out of $2 million pretty soon. So we need to get the total package completed within a period of time. Also learned this morning that the 100% design for the facility will be completed, and we'll have copies tomorrow, but it's completed today. From my recollection of past meetings, we're probably looking at 4 to 5 weeks before we have a final guaranteed maximum price. And so we'll have a real good number for you at that time, even though we are basing this on a number that is pretty certain at this point. That's around 19.2 million.
Does that include the comm center?
No,
it does not include the comm center.
Okay, all right.
So asking for your approval for the preliminary notice to proceed of 2 million.
Yeah, and I guess the other word I would say is that it's a limited notice to proceed.
Yes,
four or five weeks worth of work, which should get us to the point in time where we have a final guaranteed maximum price.
And I don't have that notice for your signature today, but we should be getting that from the, or my signature. I guess the agreement side the county manager will sign it. But
are we saying that?
Is that correct? That is the county manager. That's
great.
That's the way we're doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd make a motion to approve a limited notice to proceed in the amount of $2 million to Calcon Construction for a five-week startup phase for the combined law enforcement facility project.
Second. So the only thing I want to say is I don't say thank you a lot in meetings, so I really do mean this when I say this, is that you guys have put in a tremendous amount of work. I can't think of a time over the last 6 months that I haven't looked in your office and seen you with plans or spreadsheets. And I know that, you know, couldn't have gotten a better council person with your past experience on these kinds of projects. And if you didn't have the prior professional background, the commissioners, we wouldn't have had the expertise that you put in. So I know that you guys have done a lot of extra work above and beyond what elected officials typically do on projects like this. So
Thank you. Good work. I'd like to follow that up with a confession that at the beginning of this process, I had no idea how complex this would be. Even having been warned by my county attorney and my county manager about how complex this procedure would be. So I'd like to give both our county manager and our county attorney thanks for the really significant amount of work that they've done. And I would pass on that same compliment to city staff that have been involved. And then the last thing I'd like to say is just to Councilmember Meyer, when we started this process, we had some very difficult conversations in the beginning of how to divide up the responsibilities and the funding of this project. And you have stuck with us throughout this process. And I think it's been, at this point, it's been great to work with you. And it's also, I think, been great to work with city staff. I think as the time has gone by, the meetings have become more and more productive. And I think it's an example of how we can work together with our brethren over at the city. So thank you very much.
Thank you. So who brought the peace pipe?
All right.
Well, now, it's also time that I remember the four phases of the project.
Yeah.
Wild enthusiasm is phase one. grim reality is phase two. Utter panic is phase three. And prosecution of the innocent is phase four. And then phase five is praise and glory for the non-participants. So we're still in phase one.
We are.
Wild enthusiasm.
And we will still have our red pens out as we go through every budget item.
That is true. I think that I'm glad you brought that up. We know that there is some value engineering to be done as we move forward. We have opportunities to reduce this cost, and we'll certainly try to take advantage of those.
Yeah, and I mean, I know this is a preliminary or limited notice to proceed, but the fact of the matter is we're not going to leave a bunch of structural steel laying out on a dirt site. So this is it.
It's gotten expensive, structural steel.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.